Last week we started looking at the idea of communication. And last week we really focused in on being able to listen. The art of listening is what we talked about. And this morning, as we go into our second week on this same subject of communication, I want us to talk about the idea of identifying God's voice. Being able to identify God's voice. How do we know that God is speaking to us? And it's not just our own thoughts. Or it's not just somebody that is speaking into our life, but it's actually not God speaking through them into our lives. So that's what we're going to kind of focus in on this morning. I shared with you last week that I have been kind of working through in my own life. I've been working through the book of Job over the course of the last month now. And one verse in the book of Job kind of stands out in regards to this idea of hearing God's voice. And it's this verse. It's Job 33, verse 14. It says, "For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it." For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. Scripture says that we have a problem in regards to communication. It tells us this, that there's a problem, and the problem is this. It's not that God is silent. It's that we have a problem in perceiving it. We don't know how to perceive God's voice sometimes. In other words, we don't recognize God's voice when He speaks sometimes. So this morning, we're going to try to answer the question, how do we recognize God's voice amongst all the other noise that's a part of our lives? Job 33:14, it tells us that God speaks in a variety of ways. It says, "For God may speak in one way or another." He speaks in a variety of ways. He's not limited to just one single way. And as we look at Scripture, we see that. We know that as believers in Christ. God spoke through the burning bush back in the Old Testament. God spoke through a cloud. He oftentimes spoke through angels and through prophets. He even spoke through a donkey, right? Today, I want us to look at three common ways. By no means am I saying that these are the only ways, but three common ways that God speaks to us. So if you're taking notes, the first thing that we're going to look at is how does God speak to us? And the number one is God speaks through Scripture. God speaks through Scripture. I actually believe that this is probably the most common way that God speaks to us today. As a whole. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you're using one of the church Bibles, it's page 843. Second Timothy chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 16 and just look at two verses there. Verse 16 and verse 17 says this, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." If you're using your own Bibles, my thought or suggestion is those two words, God breathed, need to be circled. Those are important words to us as believers. God breathed, in other versions, is the word is substituted with the word inspired. God inspired is another way of saying that. The Bible is not just some collection of wonderful thoughts. The Bible is the inspired, the God-breathed Word of God. There's no other book that is like Scripture. As we read God's Word, God, He will speak to us. He will comfort us. He'll correct us. He'll guide us. And in order to do that, we have to be in God's Word. That's why I think it's critically important for us as believers to make time on a regular basis, on a daily basis, to open up the Word of God and to read through it. Some of us probably do an okay job of that. Some of you do a great job of doing that. And others maybe struggle with doing that. But I would encourage you, no matter where you're at in that journey, to make sure that if you haven't been doing it at all, or you haven't been doing it real consistently, to make the decision today to say, you know what, I want to hear from God. And in order to do that, I actually need to be with God. I need to be in His Word, His God-inspired Word that He gave. So I'm going to say for 5 minutes or for 10 minutes, I'm actually going to open my Bible each morning, and I'm going to just open with the simple prayer of, God, speak to me this morning. I'm going to read His Scripture. I'm going to let Him speak into my life. Let Him use His Word to correct, to guide, to comfort. And I believe that if you do that, that you will sense, that you will hear God speak into your life as you make that a priority. And some of you do a great job of that. I know people in here that it doesn't matter what time you got to wake up at in the morning, you're going to be up 25 or 30 minutes before that so that you can be in the Word of God. And that's such a great example for all of us. When I hear somebody come to me sometimes and say, I just don't hear God speaking to me. God just seems so silent in this time in my life. Oftentimes, the question I will ask them is, are you in God's Word? Is God's Word priority in your life? Because we have to give God the opportunity to speak into our lives. And in our culture today, with all the noise of the busyness of life, if we're not intentional about doing it, it's not going to just happen on its own. If we were to go out this afternoon, each one of us went out, and we made a purchase of something that we really, really were hoping for, wanting, whatever the case is, maybe even needing, when you bring that item home, unless it's like a food kind of item, in which case, ignore me for the next 30 seconds. But in most cases, when you bring that item home and you open up that box, there's going to be that instruction manual, that care manual for that item. And for many of us, many of you, we're smart enough that we don't need to use that. We can just set that aside and we can begin to use whatever it is that we've purchased. But the truth is, if we want to get the absolute most out of that item, it's important for us to eventually do some research on whatever it is that we have purchased. By going back to the manual and opening it up and seeing how to maintain whatever the item is properly, that helps extend its life and it helps us get the full use out of it. Maybe there's features on whatever it is that you've chosen to go buy that they're kind of hidden back in how it works. So you actually have to read the manual in order to understand how to make it do everything that it's supposed to do. For me, I like to go on YouTube and YouTube things, and see videos of all the tips and tricks and all that kind of stuff of different purchases that we make. And that helps me to be able to get the most out of those purchases. That same concept is really what the Bible does for our lives. It's our owner's manual. It allows us to get the absolute most out of our lives when we do research about what God wants for our lives, so that we know what God's very best is for our lives. It's designed to teach us how to take care of our lives. So number one, is that how does God speak? Simply through Scripture. Secondly, He speaks through other believers. God often speaks to us through other people that have a sincere and real relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, God has put in place in the church people to instruct and to teach us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says this. It says, Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip His people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So this is what Scripture is telling us. The way I read this is that God speaks through people, other believers. And in this case, they're saying teachers and preachers and pastors, that they can be used by God so that we can hear from God. I know that in my life there have certainly been men and women of God that have influenced and spoken into my life. And I believe sincerely and wholeheartedly it was God speaking through them. But we have to surround ourselves with those people if we want to hear from God. This passage, it tells us that we will become better equipped for doing ministry if we listen to the teachings of these people. The teachers, the preachers, the pastor's job, it's to equip us for ministry. Anna Ruth said this morning that we are all missionaries, right? The pastor, the preacher, the teacher's job is to equip us as we do missions. Every believer is a missionary. Every believer is a minister of the gospel. Every one of us. Every believer has a ministry to perform. And it's the pastor's main job, I would say, according to Scripture, to prepare others for ministry. Main purpose, main job, is to prepare others for ministry. In a verse that we just read, it says, to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is the main job. So sometimes in our humanness, we like to think that our pastor's main job is visitation. Or we like to think our pastor's main job is whatever it is that you want to fill in there. And that's not the main purpose that God has in mind for those people that are in that role. Their main job is to equip others to do ministry. Right? Let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a church service and you've just felt like, man, that was directed right at me? Like, you got to go home and check and see if there's video cameras in your house because the pastor is obviously spying on what's going on in our house. Right? Maybe it's been here. Maybe it's been at your home church. If this isn't your home church, maybe it's been at a camp meeting or a revival or whatever it is. But you've been somewhere and you just leave and you're like, man, He was speaking or she was speaking right into my life. Well, you know what? God was speaking to you. God was speaking through that individual into your life, and it was directed right to you. I believe that wholeheartedly. God speaks through pastors, evangelists, teachers. But God doesn't only speak through them. He doesn't. He also speaks through other believers, our brothers, our sisters in Christ. That's how God works. That's how He functions. I've had opportunities with other pastors and with other friends of mine that are followers in Christ to have discussions at time to time about the way we view things in life. And it's often interesting to get into those discussions in regard to theological kind of things because there's so many different views on theology. The theology of the church and our beliefs within the church. And I personally believe that the big one is that we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is what we're called to do. And that is a critically important thing for us to do, is to make that decision to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And I also believe that when we do that, then our purpose is to serve God. Those are the two big theological things that I know I believe. But beyond that, there's many other areas where there can be these conversations that take place, and I'll see things differently than the other person I'm talking with. And what happens in those situations is that person can have opportunity to influence Dustin and to show me a different perspective. And that person can also challenge me through us having a conversation where we see something differently. I'm challenged to go and firm up my foundation. Or see that maybe I'm wrong on how I'm seeing things. Right? So this is how I think God uses other believers to speak into our lives sometimes. Is just through getting together with each other, through talking through life, through talking through our beliefs. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says this: "You use steel to sharpen steel, and one friend sharpens another." One friend sharpens another. God speaks to us through other believers. The third way I want us to look at in regards to how God speaks to us is through our thoughts, through our minds. God puts thoughts into our minds. When God puts a thought into our mind, it's called inspiration. And I want us to go ahead and turn to the book of John, chapter 14. If you're using a church Bible, page 764. John 14, we're going to verse 26. Verse 26 says this: "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So let me just stop there. The word "remind" is another one of those key words in this passage. This means that God will bring Scripture and teaching back into our minds. So as we go through our lives and hopefully are in the Word of God, that's one of the ways that God speaks to us, is by being in His Word. As we're in the Word of God, as we're having conversations with other believers, all that, God brings those things back into our mind. He reminds us of those things. And through that, He gives us ideas or hunches or insights into life. Now, here might be a sobering fact for some of us. Some of the most brilliant ideas that you have had in your life, I'm going to suggest, weren't yours. They were God's. God gave you those insights, those inspirations, those hunches. Because that's what God does. He speaks to us through our thoughts. And God loves you, and He cares for you. And He's interested in all the details of your life. So He gives you direction through your thoughts. And it doesn't mean that every thought that you have is a thought from God. I think we can probably all agree on that. There are things that wander through our minds through the course of a day, through the course of a week, year, month, whatever, that obviously are not inspirations from God. In fact, I think Satan oftentimes likes to get into our minds and mess with us and put thoughts into our minds as well. It's a great way for him to work at destroying us as individuals, as people. I remember back to, it was probably 3 years ago now, maybe 2.5, 3 years ago, when we were kind of in the middle of our building project, and not the physical project, but the overall project of planning it and moving it forward and all that. And as a part of that process, if you remember, There were multiple times where as a congregation we would get together and we would meet and we would talk through kind of where we were at in the process. And we would talk through maybe some changes that were being recommended. And then we would say to the congregation, we want to hear back from you and we want the support of the congregation. So we would do a vote of some sort. And I remember really clearly still, to this day, the last vote that we did, we stood in front of you as a building committee and we said, this is the green light vote. Like, if you vote yes on this, we're going to start on this project. So not only do we need to vote, but we need to put money in the plate for it as well, right? And so we did this vote, and as we were going into this time of doing this vote, I had talked to other pastors leading up to this that had been through this, and they said, Dustin, if you get 75% of the people to vote yes on moving forward, that's a really good basis. That's a strong basis. That's great. If you get 80 or 85%, like you should be ecstatic about that. I don't know if you remember what the vote ended up being for that green light final vote. It was 96 point something percent of our congregation came together and said, yeah, we sense that this is where God is leading us. Right? Do you know what happened the next 2, 3, 4 days, maybe even the next week? Is my focus was on, what was that 3.5%? Who was in that 3.5%? Why were they in that 3.5%? This was my focus over the next few days. And in something that really, I think, God would have said, let's be celebrating the unity of this congregation and the direction that you guys are going. Satan had weaseled his way in there and had me questioning things about the process. So we got to be careful, because not only does God speak to us through our thoughts, but others, including Satan, can speak to us through our thoughts as well. But you know what we can do? We can make a deliberate and an intentional decision to change our thoughts. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to have you turn there with me. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 8. It's going to be page 832. In verse 8 it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. See, we need to be reminded that those are the things that we need to focus on. Sometimes we've got to let go of the 3.5%. And not that it's not important, but we need to focus in on the things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, that are excellent. We need to just choose to refocus our thoughts. Now here's, we're not going to get into any depth these next three things I'm going to say. If you're taking notes, it's 3A, B, and C. You're not going to find them on the screen either. We'll call this bonus material real quickly. But I know that as we talk about this, and we will get into this later on in the series, as in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about these in a little bit more in depth. But how do we determine whether or not what we're hearing is God's voice? Should be a question that we wrestle with. And I just want to leave you with these three ideas real quickly, and then we'll get into them more later. But we need to ask ourselves a couple questions if we think that we're sensing God speaking to us, or we're just not sure if we're sensing God speaking to us. And the questions are real simple. The first one is simply this: does it agree with Scripture? Whatever it is that I'm sensing God saying to me, does it agree with Scripture? Because here's something I can guarantee you. The voice of God will never contradict the Word of God. Did you hear that? I want us to say that together. The voice of God will never contradict the Word of God. That's critical for us to remember. In fact, it's probably the most important thing out of the whole message this morning. If you go home and you remember that, it's a success, right? Last week we talked about how much we forget how quickly, 50% in the first hour. So write that one down, because that one's one that we want to remember. The voice of God will never contradict the Word of God. So the question we ask is, does it agree with Scripture? Secondly, we should be asking the question, does it make me more Christ-like? Whatever it is that I sense God saying to me. And then the third question that I would suggest that we ask ourselves is, do I sense God's peace as a part of it? In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." But of peace. All right, so let's end our time together now. We'll jump back into what we were talking about. And we're going to end our time by looking at, why does all this really matter? Why does it really matter? And the first thing is this: hearing God's voice assures us that we're in God's family. In John 10, verse 27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." This shows that God speaks to His people. "My sheep listen to my voice." Can't listen if He's not speaking, right? So it shows that God speaks to His people. And here's another sobering thought for us this morning. And this one's honestly kind of a scary thought for maybe some of us this morning, if it happens to relate to you. It's one of those hard things to say, maybe, too. If you've never heard God speak to you, you've never sensed God speak to you, I think you probably have reason to doubt whether you're truly following Him. Just let that sink in. Ouch, right? But I think God's Word tells us that when we are following Him, He speaks to us. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Some of you may know about God, but you don't know God. Some of you may know about Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. You may have religion and know about religion, but you don't have the relationship piece. And that's really important to correct in your life. I want you to just take a moment and think to yourself about somebody that is famous. Somebody you haven't met. Somebody that you have not met that is famous. And it's somebody that you admire for whatever reason. You look up to them. Maybe you've learned things from them. So get that person in your mind. Okay? Just take a second. Get that person in your mind. Somebody you haven't met. They're well known. You admire them. You look up to them. You respect them. All right, now I want to ask you a couple questions about that person, and just answer them in your head. Do you know what that person does for a living? Do you know roughly that person's age? Do you know what that person's passions in life are? Do you know a couple things about their personal life? And a broader question for you just to consider for a second is, what are a few things about that person that you know for certain? Okay? So just take a second and think that through. What are a few things that you know about that person that are their passion? Now here's the point. Even though you may have been able to answer every one of those questions about that person, and you have a lot of knowledge about that person, you've never met that person and you don't know that person. You know about them, but you don't know them. Some of you sitting here today may know about Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. One of the proofs that you're following Christ, that you are a Christian, that Christ is the center of your life, is that Jesus speaks to you. A second one is hearing God's voice helps protect us from making mistakes. And I very intentionally used the word helps protect us. I did not say that it stops us from making mistakes. Sometimes it does, hopefully, stop us from making mistakes because we choose to listen to the voice. But sometimes, in my humanness, in my sinfulness, I choose not to listen to the voice of God. And so do you. God is there trying to lead and to guide us. The only way that He can do that is if we will choose to listen to Him. The question is how much do we listen to God? In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." See, God can guide us away from making horrible mistakes in our lives when we allow Him to light our path, to show us the way, when we allow Him to speak into our lives and we listen to what He's saying. And then the third one, hearing God's voice is the secret to a productive life. And let me say this. The more that we listen and obey God's voice, I think the more successful we're going to be at living this life. And again, let's talk about that word success, because that word can really put a whole bunch of different images in our minds. I don't really care about your success in regards to your finances and a lot of things in our lives. That's not what we're talking about this morning. What I'm talking about in regards to success, and here's how I'll define it for this morning, is success is knowing God's will and being right in the center of it. That's success. Okay? The more I listen and obey God's voice, the more successful I am, the more in the center of God's will I will be. If you want to be successful in this life, if you want to be in the center of God's will in this life, if you want to be productive and to be doing what God desires to happen out of you and your talents and your abilities, if you want all that, we've got to listen to what He says. We need to do what He instructs. In Matthew 11, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." This is the voice of Christ. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Will you try to identify God's voice this week in your life? And as you try to do that, will you choose to be obedient to it? That's the two questions we've got to wrestle with as we leave. Because if you say no to those, I'm sorry I wasted the last 30 minutes of your time. Will you try to identify God's voice this week? And if so, will you choose to be obedient to it? Will we make that choice in our life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I believe that You are speaking to us today. You speak to us, as Your Word says, in a variety of ways. You speak to us, I think, all the time. I pray, Lord God, that today we would seek to hear Your voice. I pray that we would do that corporately as a church, that we would always be seeking to hear Your voice and discerning Your will for us so that we can be at the center of it. But I pray for that for us individually. As we leave this place, as we go into our weeks that are ahead of us, I pray, Lord God, that we would seek to hear Your voice. And when we hear it, that we would make decisions that would put us right in the center of Your will. I pray that we would always be receptive to what You say to us. Help us to become doers of Your Word after we hear Your voice. Lord God, help us to make decisions in our life that will allow You to speak into our lives, that will give You opportunity, but maybe more so important, that will give us opportunity to hear You speak into our lives. Help us with some of the practical things of spending time in Your Word and making time for that in the busyness of life. Help us to surround ourselves with other believers that can help sharpen us. That can help us firm up our beliefs. Help us to make choices, Lord God, so that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're in Your will and following Your call, Your voice, Your desire for our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.